happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, virtually on the road, driving right now, speaking into the speakerphone. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get to our health and nutrition in just a few moments. We've been extremely busy, started the day very early, and him en route should be at a microphone where we can talk, and I can give you the latest on health and healing, get to a microphone. But in the interim, I'm frequently asked, what's it like to be on the road? Where are you going? Well, we're going into Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Louisiana, ending up in Texas. And the point of the exercise is to show you what happens when you're poor, more often than not a minority, and the environment around you is toxic. You can't breathe the air. It's so bad that you don't even have fresh running water. You don't even have a septic system. You have nothing. You literally have to defecate in a bucket and take it outside and throw it someplace into a hole you've dug. How is that possible today that not just a few hundred or even a few thousand, but tens of thousands of people in one state alone are suffering this way? Well, the only way you can find out is to go there, see with yourself, take your camera crew, start to interview people, film it all. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to start the show today with our environmental impact. Then, after that, which will be about 10 minutes, then I will do a complete discussion of about 20 minutes on health and nutrition, bring you the latest information. Plus, we have a guest today. And literally, this is a show on the road and in motion. So, Jesse, let's take him over to show them what's going on right now in Alabama, where people would not believe these individuals, these human beings, have to live under these conditions.
Let the nation and the world know we are tired now.
What started out as a peaceful protest from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, in March of 1965, ended in horrific violence. Months later, the Voting Rights Act was passed. Black Americans are now guaranteed the right to vote. But if you follow that same trail today, from Selma to Montgomery on Highway 80, you'll find an area of extreme rural poverty, where families who live in the epicenter of the civil rights movement are still being denied access to basic human rights. There are parts of Lowndes County, Alabama, so impoverished and neglected that people don't have access to sanitation. Pamela Rush is one of those people. Behind her mobile home is a pool of human excrement. That's because she has a straight pipe going directly from her toilet into the backyard.
Why can't you flush the toilet paper down?
Because it'll get stopped up. The land stuff gets stopped up.
Because you have no septic?
I have no septic system.
Mm-hmm. What's that feel like?
If make me feel bad. Because I don't want all my stuff just coming out here and running on the ground.
Many homes in Lowndes County are too scattered for a central wastewater facility. An estimated 80% of residents have to pay out of pocket to get rid of their own waste. And with nearly a third of the community living below the poverty line, people like Pamela have resorted to straight piping into fields, yards, and ditches.
Yes, I call this America's dirty secret. I think that this is a problem that has gone on for years.
Catherine Coleman Flowers grew up in Lowndes County and has spent the last 16 years trying to find a solution to the sanitation crisis.
A lot of what is happening in Lowndes County is environmental racism.
When we first moved to Lowndes County in the 60s, 1960s, we had to provide our own water. People had their own wells. And then when the USDA started providing water to families in rural communities, they left out the sanitation part.
So as a result, a lot of these areas intentionally were, I think, victims of benign neglect, you know, the lack of investment in those communities to put the infrastructure in place to keep the population poor. And a lot of these populations are largely people of color.
Lowndes County sits in the middle of a region in Alabama known as the Black Belt. That's because the majority of the population is made up of Black Americans. But it also earned the nickname because of its rich, dense clay soil.
Our soils were the reason that people came here in the first place, you know, and settled this area. They came here because they had worn out the soils in the Carolinas, and the founders of Alabama decided that they wanted to expand and put their plantations and bring their slaves here. And the people that are in Lowndes County, a lot of us, including myself, are descendants of those slaves that were brought to this area to work the ground, because the ground is good for planting, but it's not good for on-site wastewater treatment.
Here's the reason. Most on-site septic systems rely primarily on the soil itself to treat wastewater. The effluent flows out of drain holes where soil particles and microbes filter out bacteria. But in hard clay soil, water can't really move. And that means wastewater can't be filtered properly. So while an ordinary septic tank might cost between $5,000 and $10,000, the ones often needed to handle the soil in Lowndes County can cost anywhere from $6,000 to $30,000. The annual per capita income here is $18,000.
Yes, Lowndes County, and I agree, is the poorest county in the United States. You're talking about poverty. That's not for the health department to fix.
Sherry Bradley is the Director of Environmental Services at the Alabama Health Department. Between 1996 and 2001, 24 people were issued arrest warrants in Lowndes County for septic system violations brought forward by her department. In recent years, the department has stopped taking people in this county to court, but it continues to cite homeowners, which could lead to a misdemeanor and fine. Sherry says the department's role in all of this is only regulatory.
We still write notice of violation. I don't know why people call it criminalizing. When you get a ticket for speeding, is that criminalizing? It's saying that you broken the law. That's not a strategy. That's what we do. We regulate the permitting, the installation, and the use of septic tank systems. We don't criminalize anybody.
In 2015, the UN said access to sanitation is a human right. That requires not only access to a toilet, but also the safe collection, management, and disposal of feces and wastewater.
If the person refuses to put in a system, it goes to court. The judge decides what to do. Period. It's out of our hands.
I have no way of taking this problem myself.
Lowndes County is just one piece of a larger picture that shows a pattern of neglect and marginalization of low-income rural communities across America. Nearly 500,000 households in the U.S. lack access to proper sanitation. Catherine believes the legacy of slavery, racism, and segregation cannot be separated from the current situation.
The institutions were set up based on racism. In some cases, I think that institutional racism is still in place, and that's one of the reasons why we have these problems.
The history of this area is entrenched in white supremacy and plantation power. The Equal Justice Initiative documented 14 lynchings in Lowndes County. A memorial was just raised a 20-minute drive away in Montgomery to honor the thousands killed in lynchings across the U.S. In the 1950s, it earned the nickname Bloody Lounge because of the violence and terror inflicted on black people by white residents who wanted to maintain segregation.
I guess the backdrop of all of that, Lowndes County has, although it has changed and there are black elected officials in place now, you see where the sanitation in the cities, where there is sanitation or a large municipal system, it generally stops at where the black community starts. Or people have problems in the areas of town where black people have traditionally lived.
These inequalities, spatial, racial, income, and property, intersect with something even more alarming, the resurgence of parasitic disease linked to poor sanitation. Catherine and a team of researchers from the Baylor College of Medicine conducted a study that found 2 in 5 participants had intestinal parasites, primarily hookworm, something most experts assumed had disappeared in the U.S. The Alabama State Health Department refuses to acknowledge the validity of the test results.
We are yet to find a person, a person's name, a person that's receiving help. We are yet to find anything like that. And we've looked. There is no evidence of hookworms in Alabama.
The unfortunate part is that the government should be partnering with us on finding real solutions instead of trying to pretend like this problem does not exist.
The house ain't fit to live in because animals and stuff come in my house, paws and stuff, and I got holes everywhere in the house and mold and stuff. My washer was got torn up and it's leaking water right now, so I have to squeeze clothes out and hang them up in the house before they get here something to school.
We're going to continue doing what we're doing, and that is to enforce the law and be fair about it. And that's all we can do.
And I talked about these institutions that are in place, these structures that are in place that undergirds and supports poverty. And until we change that, it doesn't matter who the face of it is or who's in charge. It could be somebody that looks like me. It doesn't matter. Until these structural things change, we're going to continue to create what we've created.
And then I can do. I can pray.
There you are.
Because I don't have them.
That's just a small glimpse into what we're seeing, what I'm filming, the horror stories, the human suffering. I've mentioned many times that it's very challenging emotionally to be around so much abject poverty and feel so helpless to be able to eliminate it. So you do what you can in the moment. Down in Florida, where I'll be in 2 weeks on the East Coast, for someone who may want to join us, and by the way, of all the people who thought they were hardy and would love to join in the filming, well, only one person out of all the people was able to actually keep the schedule, starting at 4 in the morning, getting up at 3:30, driving for 4 hours, setting up, filming, frequently being hassled by the police. You're on private property. No, we're not on private property. This is public property right here, being threatened with being jailed, filming, seeing people, what they've gone through, seeing people whose homes, their basements are completely flooded. And yet they didn't know that their insurance was not covering for flood insurance, water damage. It only covered for hurricane, which is wind. And now one person says, we have nothing. We don't have any savings. We don't have the money to get a commercial company to pump the water out of our basement. And that is not abject poverty. That's middle-class America. Drive up and down the streets. It looks okay from the outside. Then go in and sit down with them and say, how much money do you have in your savings? None. How much debt do you have? Mortgage debt, car debt, student loan debt, credit card debt? Oh, probably $200,000. How much do you earn? Oh, about $40,000. How much interest are you paying? Well, it depends. If you're late on one credit card, all the interest goes up on all the credit cards. I didn't know that. So how are you coping? Well, working two jobs, sometimes three. My health is not good. I don't have time for my health. And we're looking at, you know, having this house foreclosed on. But we're still going to be in debt, even if we're thrown out of it. They don't disqualify the debt. That's what I'm saying. Not in a few people, or a few thousand, or a few hundred thousand, or a few million. Over 200 million Americans. 200 million. Over two-thirds of the American population. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, to bring their story. And giving them whatever encouragement, down in the daily bread, you know, sending checks over so that the, you know, homeless people can have some food. So maybe once this is all finished and in the spring I premiere it, we can get some groups going around the country to try to help community by community. Anyhow, more on that. A lot of people didn't realize how hard it is when you're out in the road and there's no holiday, there's no rest moment. And that's what you saw today, rushing back in the truck and introducing the program on the cell phone so I can get to a microphone where we have a portable Comrex unit set up. Now, we're going to talk about health and nutrition, as we always do. And I'm going to do something different coming up, probably starting in about a month. I'm building the facility now. I hope to have it finished, well, probably in a month. I'm going to do a permanent archive on health and nutrition, one on the environment, one on conversations with remarkable minds, and then I'm going to stream these. So let's just say you're only interested in health and nutrition. You'll have about 20,000 hours of uninterrupted information, and we're going to go through and make it timeless, what we call evergreen it, where anything that would date it is gone, and it's all relevant. Plus, all of the best minds in the world we've interviewed, if you want to hear those more challenging intellectually, you can. And those of you who are environmentally in tune or coming to an awareness of the environment, you'll have plenty to listen to. That will be coming up. Tens of thousands of hours, edited, free, as a public service, by category. You just want health and nutrition? You get it. Environment? You get it. Investigative reporting? You get it. So now, we're going to go to the latest on health and healing. From the University of Utah, Southwestern Medical Center, comes a study about fasting. Now, those of you who listen know that I really support fasting. In fact, there were two people who influenced me the most on fasting. One was a natural hygienist. His name was Shelton, Herbert Shelton, down in San Antonio, Texas. And he helped a lot of people, but he did extreme fasting, and I don't support extreme fasting. And then another one was Dr. Alan Cox, COX. He was a psychiatrist, and he was a friend of Dr. Hank Newbold. And Newbold came to me and said that he wanted to work with some nutritionists, and I work with him, on putting together a protocol that would help people with mental conditions. He also, I believe, was a psychiatrist, helped a lot of people with depression and anxiety disorders. But he wanted to know, what is the role of nutrition? And so we did a series of clinical studies by improving people's diets, not just with food, but also supplements like niacin or the non-flush niacin, niacinamide, vitamin B3, and B-complex, but at higher doses. In any case, he was doing it just as one private physician, and he found out that it was having remarkable results. And so there was Dr. Newbold, Dr. Cox, and Cox found that when he fasted people, they did well, but he had never done controlled fasting. So he came up and introduced some patients, and I started the people with modifying the caloric intake. So some people thought a fast should just be water, and I said, no, you don't want to catabolize the heart or muscle tissue, because the body has to have energy. Where is it supposed to get the energy? You're going to burn up your glycogen and your glucose rather quickly than a person is going to feel like they're on a roller coaster with low blood sugar and hypoglycemia. But the trouble is almost all the holistic physicians in America at that time were using Carlton Frederick's principle of high-protein diet for hypoglycemia. And I'm utterly opposed. In fact, I was opposed to everything, it turns out, that Carlton Frederick believed in. But he came from that old school and big believer in meat. So I found that if you simply modified the caloric intake by giving nuts and seeds ground up and vegetable proteins like brown rice, and you started a protein shake in the morning, a large one that had about 60 grams of protein, and you drank that throughout the day, supplementing with green vegetable juices, that is a controlled fast. You're not eating anything, but you're cleansing, and it's a high bioavailable, meaning whatever is going in is getting used by the cells, and there's a big cleanse. People would say, my goodness, you know, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but, you know, I have not been regular, now I'm hyper-regular. And I said, that's good. You're cleansing and detoxifying in the process. And then nutrients like chlorophyll, and chlorophyll in any form, whether it's from wheatgrass juice or chlorella or spirulina or sea vegetables or vitamin C, these all have natural chelating effect, meaning chele from the Greek the claw-like, and it's like watching a heavy metal be taken in and removed through the kidneys. So lots of liquid to keep your blood thin and keep your kidneys flushed. And in about 3 months of modified fasting, starting off one day a week, and then after a month, going to 2 days a week, and the third month, going 3 days a week. And that way they lost weight, had more energy, and felt terrific. And so I wrote a book on that, and I did a paper on it, and I would later do studies. So now I tell people caloric control, meaning control the amount of calories going into the body to what the body actually needs, you're going to lose weight, live longer, and rejuvenate. And all the science now supports that, all of it. So that the natural hygienists had it right, at least when it came to modified fasting. Now, this is what they're saying at University of Utah University. Quote, study shows fasting kills cancer cells of common childhood leukemia. How about that? They found that intermittent fasting inhibits the development and progression of the most common type of childhood leukemia. So that's important. And, quote, this study using mouse models indicates that the effects of fasting on blood cancers are type-dependent and provides a platform for identifying new targets for leukemia treatments. Good. And by the way, there's a whole lot more you could do for a child, but that's for a different discussion. Also, scientists find that a popular Chinese herbal medicine is effective in eliminating colon cancer cells. Now, colon cancer is one of the most difficult cancers to treat, one of the most painful, yet it's one of the easiest to prevent. This is from the Gachon University Gill Medical Center in South Korea, and it was published in the British Medical Journal Complementary Alternative Medicine. They found that a simple what's called Job's tears had been identified by previous studies as having anti-proliferative effects on lymphoma, lung cancer, and colon cancer. The researchers used a variety of different methods to determine the impact and found that it was very, very beneficial. So, once again, there is your traditional Oriental medicine showing to be beneficial. And that's not the only one. Breastfeeding changes gene activity, and that makes babies less reactive to stress. This is from Brown University. Now, it's long been known that there are many physical and mental health benefits of breastfeeding for mothers and babies. But can these benefits be due to genetic changes induced by breastfeeding? New research says yes. The new research is published in the peer-reviewed journal Pediatrics. And so, quote, what we found is that maternal care changes the activity of a gene in their infants that regulates the infant's physiological response to stress, specifically the release of the hormone cortisol, end quote. Well, we know that the hormone is your stress hormone, and when it's elevated, not good. So breastfeeding helps keep it lower. Also from Georgia State University, another study on caloric restriction. Here they're saying that molecule produced during caloric restriction delays vascular aging. And this was published in the very respected Molecular Cell. And so here we have vascular system, and it's being protected when we restrict our caloric intake. This is from the study, quote, the most important part of aging is vascular aging. When people become older, the vessels that supply different organs are the most sensitive and more subject to aging damage. So studying vascular aging is very important. This study is focused on vascular aging and in old age and what kind of changes happen and how to prevent vascular aging. And they found that when they reduced the large amounts of calorie going into a person's body, it protected their vascular system. So, once again, when you're eating pizzas and hamburgers and milkshakes and all these sugar beverages, you're saturating the body with lots of damaging calories. When you eat an apple, a pear, a salad, you're not. You're getting limited calories that are bound to very healthy, healthy amino acids and so, and other nutrients. So a healthy plant-based diet is great. From the University of Michigan, junk food quitters face withdrawal-like symptoms. The new study is believed to be the first of its kind to evaluate withdrawal symptoms from people going off a common standard American diet. You know, the one I talk about all the time, pastries, french fries, pizzas, hot dogs, hamburgers. Now, previous studies have focused on sugar withdrawal among animals, and the literature regarding humans offered only anecdotal evidence. Well, this one was done with humans. And what they said was researchers agree that the addictive qualities of tobacco and drugs or alcohol affects the brain similarly, and cutting back can lead to a negative side effect that can make it difficult to reduce intake. You get anxiety, headaches, irritability, and depression. Well, comes that the standard American diet of highly processed food creates the same type of physiological, biochemical, and emotional withdrawal. And that's why cleansing and detoxifying in a measured, controlled way is much better than going cold turkey for most people. Also, Tai Chi, that's that very gentle oriental meditation and physical activity, is a low-cost and very useful alternative to improving respiratory function in people with COPD. This is from the Gansu Medical University in China, and they did the research, and they found that it improves pulmonary function. And it was published in the peer-reviewed journal Chest, so that's good. And finally, experts reviewed 107 scientific studies and found that cholesterol by itself does not cause heart disease and that statin drugs are useless. That is what they found. And the article is entitled LDL Does Not Cause Cardiovascular Disease, a Comprehensive Review of Current Literature. So, we have been misled this whole time, just so people could sell us drugs. So lots of falsifications on the cholesterol hypothesis. And lots of money, hundreds of billions of dollars made over this period of time by the manufacturers of statins. So that's important. And finally, from the University of Washington, practicing mindfulness benefits parents and children. Parents, well, just picture the situation. Your child is misbehaving. You've had a hard day. And one more outburst just sends you over the edge. You threaten. You yell. Maybe you announce a punishment. So over the top, you know you wouldn't and shouldn't follow through. That's reacting based upon emotions. Not in the way you know you'll be effective. And what is effective, and this is what this team from the university found in this new research, is practicing mindfulness, staying calm, seeing a situation from other perspectives and responding in an intentional way. So, be present, noticing, listening, and engaging with what's happening right now. Be warm, paying attention to the child's emotions and giving the child opportunities to initiate inner reactions. Be consistent, setting limits and developmentally appropriate expectations, praising the good things they do, guiding without directing, otherwise known as scaffolding, offering help when needed, but encouraging independence, and commenting on the child's accomplishments. Just something different. Oh, this I thought was interesting. A new study confirms, listen carefully, energy transfer in different types of energy healing, including Reiki and acupuncture. For many people, the benefits of energy healing practices like Reiki are immeasurable. But in a recent study, scientists attempted to do just that, measure and confirm the energy transfer which takes place during a typical session. This is only about Reiki now, which is an ancient practice of energy healing that first rose to fame in Japan in the 1800s, but different takes on energy healing have existed for centuries. Now, scientists seek to confirm what the healers of the past already knew. And Reiki advocates say that the practice keys in the flow of universal energy and that Reiki practitioners can transfer energy to their patients by channeling it through their hands. Well, Medical News Today reports that at least 60 hospitals in the United States offer Reiki therapy to their patients. Survey data suggests that over 1 million people will try Reiki or a similar therapy in a given year. Now, of course, there are lots of naysayers that say this isn't modern science. But in this case, Dr. Maria Kerman, Ph.D., at the Holistic Research Institute in Knoxville, Tennessee, recently conducted a study to analyze the potential energy transfers that occurred during the Reiki healing sessions. And she said that she admits she was more than skeptical at the notion of real energy transfers taking place, but it happened. So that's interesting. Now we go back to the 1970s when it really happened, and not with people who could be impacted by placebo, nocebo, or a person's personality, with rats in a laboratory. And out of 50 people who signed up, 6 were able to reverse the terminal cancer, 6 out of 6 times each. And they did a lot more than that. I had a room in the institute that was used in cancer therapy, and it was lead-shielded. But there are 2 identical rooms side by side. So I put a group of sprouts in one room and the same identical type of sprouts from the same batch in another room. Same water, same light, same temperature. But in one room, those 6 individuals, each one at a time, went in and did their energy work. And we time-lapsed, photographed it, and measured it. And it was just like one of these movies where you see the thing growing very fast. It grew 3 times faster than the one that was not given the energy. So, wrote it all up, published it way back then, and nobody paid attention. Well, Dolores Krieger paid attention. She would later found therapeutic touch based upon her being in the experiment. She was one of the people. And that spread to all the nursing schools in the United States, many around the world. So now they're just reconfirming that today. all those decades later. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us.
Today, I was happy as a lark, but now I go for walks.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. This is now a shorter version, part three, of an original, in-depth investigative report by activist and a citizen author, and she's very, very focused upon social issues, has been her entire adult life, Helen, and I'll spell her name for you, Byniski, B-U-Y-N-I-S-K-I. And she spent hundreds of hours in our office reviewing all of our research involving our efforts to try to challenge Wikipedia's inaccuracies and bias. And she came to the conclusion that yeah, there's gross bias, and we've been working on this for 2 years, Richard Gale and myself, and we found that it wasn't just me, it's a whole lot of people out there for different reasons that have been attacked, and they cannot defend themselves. You're put into this permanent gulag. So I've given you the first two, and I was mentioning who the people were, how they were wrong, and we have all this up on my website, prn.fm. You can read this in detail and all the evidence for yourself, and how they set you up and then attack you. Well, if you were to read the article on myself, and I hope you do, and then read our lawyer's response to it, where we took it apart and showed every single thing in there was wrong, and I dealt with some of this yesterday, you wouldn't have known I would have achieved anything. You'd have thought I had fallen off a bus coming out of some, you know, banana republic and said, I'm here. So to read his, quote, Wikipedia article, this is from Helen now, the uninformed researcher would not know that Gary Nall is a board-certified clinical nutritionist. He has conducted over 40 clinical studies on lifestyle and diet. That's more than any other researcher in America in that field. No one has done more. He hosts the longest-running daily non-commercial radio program in history, and for 12 years ran the most popular show on WABC. He has published over 700 articles, many in peer-reviewed journals, and has been invited to present his findings at scientific conferences. His research showed humans could not only survive but thrive on a diet wholly devoid of animal protein. His documentaries, including Death by Medicine, AIDS a Second Opinion, and The Drugging of Our Children, have won more than 276 awards, placing him among the country's top documentary filmmakers. He has counseled tens of thousands of people over his 50-year career, never charging a penny to a single person. None of this information, all of which can be confirmed by reliable sources, appears in Wikipedia. None of it. In our attempts to set the record straight, we were not only unable to make our reliably sourced changes to the biography of Gary Nall stick, but after approaching the matter from various angles, found we were unable to make any changes at all. Worse, our attempts to add truthful and reliably sourced information to the article were met with active hostility on the part of entrenched editors, who added more defamatory material and further degraded the quality of the article. More than once, the article was frozen in a libelous state, preventing anyone from editing it. Any number of people who could have had their lives changed for the better have been dissuaded from investigating Nall's work and the work of people like him who have the courage to stand up to the medical establishment. The reasons cited by Wikipedia editors in refusing to allow our edits, a bureaucratic death by a thousand cuts consisting of endless rules about fringe theories and pseudoscience, don't hold water given the volume of scientific proof we have on hand. NOAA's reversed the course of AIDS in 1,200 patients, a fact attested to by their doctors and medical charts. He has been on PBS 8 times discussing his work. PBS is a reliable source, even given the hyper-establishment guidelines set forth by Wikipedia. NOAA has demonstrated conclusively that AIDS is not a death sentence, that natural therapies can reverse the course of the disease. His findings were published in the Town's Letter for Medicine, a respected medical publication. Yet none of this information, not a single piece of this, is permitted in his Wikipedia article because it threatens the merchants of death at the helm of the medical establishment. And since the publication of this false and defamatory Wikipedia article, NOAA's experienced a steep drop in invitations to speak at conferences, and some academics and other professionals have refused to work with him. Had he not built a strong audience over the decades preceding the rise of Wikipedia, he would have been swept into the dustbin of history by now. No one unaccountable website should have the power to imprison people in an online gulag, unable to address the charges against them, even as their reputation is put before the firing squad. Wikipedia articles appear at the top of Google search most often, and with most people run on unfamiliar names. First impressions are everything, particularly as the pace of our daily lives increases and few have the luxury of consciously researching something. Wikipedia ensures that Knoll and people like him who question the prevailing wisdom of society are blacklisted, censored, and blocked from reputable outlets. What you don't know can't help you, and that's what Wikipedia and its puppet masters and sock puppets are counting on. Wikipedia hides behind the tax-exempt structure of the Wikimedia Foundation, the nonprofit formed by employees in 2003 to shield Wikipedia from tax requirements. As a lifelong objectivist, Jimmy Wells believes taxes are theft. Objectivists hold government interference to be a moral sin, an institutionalized form of altruism, which they liken to mental illness, and feel no compunction about bending the rules to avoid supporting the governments they want to see wither and die. The IRS forbids 501c3 core organizations like the Wikimedia Foundation from participating in political campaigns, quote, on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for elective public office, end quote. Let me repeat that, because if the people listening now want to do something that is important, please contact the Inspector General for the Internal Revenue Service. Contact your legislator and ask and contact the Attorney General of every state in America and state that, quote, on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for elected public office and a ban which extends to, quote, contributions to political campaign funds or public statements of position, verbal or written, made on behalf of the organization in favor of or in opposition to any candidate for public office, end quote. The IRS policy clearly states that, quote, listen carefully, quote, violating this prohibition may result in denial or revocation of tax-exempt status and the imposition of certain excise taxes, end quote. The policy further explains, quote, voter education or registration activities with evidence of bias that would favor one candidate over another, oppose a candidate in some manner, or have the effect of favoring a candidate or group of candidates will constitute prohibited participation or intervention, end quote. And I believe that we have more than adequately proven that. Before I left New York on the road, I had an opportunity to speak with some individuals who will not be identified at this point, but they're extremely influential and well-known in their field. It is their belief, based upon the information research that has been presented, that there is a legitimate challenge to what seemed to be, up till this moment, the complete and total godlike power of Jimmy Wells and Wikipedia and the skeptics to attack, libel, slander, debase, dehumanize whoever they chose with no recourse, mocking, laughing at anyone who thought that maybe there was a legal way of dealing with it. In effect, they've given the finger to everyone that they have insulted. Maybe, just maybe, they should have been a little smarter, or maybe they took on some of the wrong people. We'll see. Trust me, we'll see. Quote, the Wikimedia Foundation paid $436,104 to hire Manassian Group, run by Clinton Foundation Chief Communications Officer Greg, and I'll spell his name for you, Manassian, M-I-N-A-S-S-I-A-N, to train Wikipedia C-suite employees and directors and managers in media strategy starting in the 2014 fiscal year. In 2016, they paid him $406,957 to conduct, quote, communications audit, end quote, and presumably continue its earlier work. And while the details of Manassian's activities are not public, the group did issue a report detailing its audit findings, which primarily consists of parsing media coverage by subject, country, publication, and author, and ranking outlets in terms of prestige. Wikipedia was advised to focus on portraying itself as trustworthy and neutral in the media, even while, quote, seeking out and dispelling controversial issues, end quote. The audit recommended concentrating on building a rapport with, quote, friendly journalists, end quote, writing for what Wikipedia editors call, quote, reliable sources, end quote. What does that mean? Let's guess. You seek, like the CIA did, people willing to do your bidding, and then use them as a source that's reliable? Disingenuous. If it's on a political subject where their political bias supports a person like Hillary Clinton, that would put you, I believe, in my belief, in personal violation of the IRS rules. Manassian has a history of planting stories favorable to the Clinton Foundation in, quote, friendly media, as WikiLeaks revealed in its Podesta email dump, which included a message from Craig Manassian himself boasting a favorable coverage he had secured for the foundation on the Cobra report. Shortly after Manassian published the results of his audit, Jimmy Wales announced the launch of Wiki Tribune, a crowdsourced news platform to combat, quote, fake news. Some Wikipedia editors expressed their unease at the Wikimedia Foundation's decision to spend almost $500,000 in such a politically polarizing manner. Sashi Manek, M-A-N-E-K, linked the Manassian hire to the arrival of militant editors on the Clinton Foundation article, which was kept clean of any mention of the billions of dollars in donations that had never been distributed to Haitian earthquake victims and the foundation's choice to build a lucrative industrial park in an undamaged part of the island instead. Clinton's own Wikipedia article is similarly spotless, bearing only a sanitized summary of her, quote, email controversy and no mention at all of the revelations from WikiLeaks, DNC, and personal email document dumps. No mention is made of the invasion of Libya on false pretenses or the fallout from the invasion. Indeed, reality is directly contradicted with a mystifying sentence reading, quote, there was a trend of women around the world financing or finding more opportunities and in some cases feeling safer as a result of Clinton's actions and visibility, end quote. Sourced to a book called The Hillary Doctrine, the article was, quote, protected, end quote, frozen so that only high-level administrators can make changes. Wikipedia's article, which is glowing treatment of Clinton, can be contrasted with its lukewarm article on Bernie Sanders, which is careful to include statements from journalists and adversarial politicians contradicting Sanders' positions. Auditing the Fed, for example, quote, would expose the Federal Reserve to undue political pressure from lawmakers who do not like its decisions, end quote, and Sanders' total neglect by the media for, quote, proportional to his standing in the polls, end quote. despite approximately half of Democratic voters favoring Sanders over Clinton. Wikipedia's article on Donald Trump wastes no time in pointing out that many of his public statements, quote, were controversial or false, end quote, and the article, quote, efforts to impeach Donald Trump, end quote, was created before he was even inaugurated. For all your lawyers out there, listen to what I'm saying. They created the attack piece prior to him even being elected. Quote, Trump's article is protected now, but the 2016 election saw a huge disparity in editing activity between the two candidates before it was locked. In May 2016, articles relating to post-1932 American politics received an additional degree of protection in the form of, quote, discretionary sanctions, meaning editorial disputes can be resolved by uninvolved administrators called in for reinforcements. The measure is merely another hurdle low-level editors must jump in order to make edits without incurring penalties or being reverted. And the logic behind these, quote, discretionary sanctions, end quote, is impenetrable, perhaps deliberately so. In conclusion, many administrators make no secret of their political beliefs, which is not in itself an issue until one recognizes the techniques they use to freeze out opposing views. For example, the administrator Bo Rangfeller wrote that non-believers in the Russiagate conspiracy, quote, lack the competence needed to edit American political subjects, end quote. They should be, quote, monitored carefully, end quote, since their political views are, quote, are at odds with the basis of all editing here, meaning at Wikipedia, and banned when they attempted to cite, quote, fake news as a source. Well, as an aside, you're saying that only your editors know what is real, and anyone who offers, no matter how scholarly they are, like a Ralph Nader or Chris Hedges or anyone else, that's considered fake news? Excluding information sourced from, quote, fake news sounds reasonable enough until one scans their list of reliable sources, which excludes anything to the left of the Huffington Post or the right of The Economist. Well, Rangfeller is also a proud skeptic, displaying this affiliation on their user page. They openly drop hints to other Wikipedia editors about how to insert biased information into political articles, recognizing no conflict of interest, even as they call out the same behavior in their ideological opponents. Other editors use private mailing lists to enlist reinforcements when they are outnumbered in their edit war of administrative dispute. One expects this sort of behavior in online message boards, but not from the people in charge. In the run-up to the 2016 election, Wikipedia Ground Zero was Ground Zero for discussion of Russiagate, the so-called conspiracy. An administrator previously banned for conflicts of interest, impersonating multiple accounts, was called sock puppeting, and hostile behavior toward other users resurfaced with new account. Sage Kander, and proceeded to make thousands of edits on articles related to Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign and related talking points. Yeah, 904 edits. Russian interference in the 2016 election, 631 edits. The murder of Seth Rich, 275 edits. Comey memos, efforts to impeach Donald Trump. Sage Kander also participated in at least 19 disciplinary actions in just 3 months, resuming their previous behavioral pattern by picking fights with other editors. Instead of another ban, however, this confrontational behavior got them promoted, given an auto-patrolling and page-moving powers and allowing them to edit protected entries, like Hillary Clinton's article and some of the Russiagate material, without another editor signing off on their changes. A closer look at some of these pages and their frequent editors reveals a group of users working on the same controversial topics and supporting each other's edits, voting in each other's favor in disciplinary proceedings, and generally working to ideologically shift Wikipedia towards a neoliberal democratic position. These editors, including Volunteer Merrick, a mainstay of one of the extra wiki mailing lists under a previous username, Bull Wranglifer, Neutrality, who cleaned up Tim Kaine's Wikipedia page, remember Tim Kaine, vice president candidate with Clinton, before Clinton publicly named him as her vice president pick. Now, how coincidental is that? And there were many others, frequently overlap with the skeptic camp. Both viewpoints are favored by Jimmy Wells. The efforts of a clique of ideologically motivated editors are of particular interest given the development of such teams on other social media sites like Facebook and Reddit and Instagram and Twitter during the 2016 election. Clinton strategist and fundraiser David Brocks, Correct the Record, a super PAC, spent at least $1 million during the election to, quote, push back against negative posts about Clinton as part of a program called Barrier Breakers. And it's unlikely that such an operation would have overlooked Wikipedia, which other social media sites often use as a fact-checking tool. Brock has come under scrutiny before for bending campaign finance rules. Super PACs aren't supposed to participate in individual elections, and Media Matters for America, the organization for which he is best known, is a 501c3 and therefore barred from conducting political activity on behalf of any candidate. A former contractor for his group estimated the group's expenditures at $5 to $6 million as of August 2016 in a post on an anonymous message board in which he encouraged others to sign up for easy cash, explaining that the employees were given high-ranked and backdated accounts on Reddit and Twitter so as to be more easily blend into the discussion. In 2016, Wikipedia dispensed $16,100 grant to the New Venture Fund, a Washington, D.C.-based 501(c)(3) nonprofit that makes grants to, quote, left-of-center advocacy and organizing projects, end quote. According to Influence Watch, which also cautions that New Venture critics have called it, quote, dark money organization used to cloak left-leaning groups, donations to advocacy issues, New Venture founder and chairman Eric Kessler work with the Clinton administration managing conservative issues and is still a member of the Clinton Global Initiative. So, and there's a lot more, but we have done enough up to this point to show you that all you had to do is research it. All you had to do is look. And you can read Helen Beniski's article, completely documented, completely sourced, completely footnoted, by going to prn.fm. And for other citizen journalists, if you're interested in exposing the truth, send us your idea or an article with its references, and we will check it. If we find that it is honest and accurate and objective, we'll post it. We are only at the beginning of this effort to challenge Wikipedia. The mighty Bemoaneth and Jimmy Wells, even bigger than that, they thought that they had the power to destroy, so why would anyone dare challenge them? Well, Jimmy boy, I'm challenging you and all the skeptics and all the editors in your organization. Trust me, you're going to hear a lot more from me. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day.